session of the Senate Associated Students to order on Wednesday, January 24th, 2018 at 5:32 p.m. in the Rita Layden Senate Chambers on the third floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union. Moving into agenda item 2, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you could please remain standing real quick, I would love to have a moment of silence for Heaven Akmal, one of our students who passed away this last week. Thank you. Heaven was a really active member of our campus community. She was an intern for our clubs and organizations department, a campus escort officer, and a member of Pi Beta Phi. I really want to yield senator reports tonight so we can hopefully finish this meeting in a timely manner. Pi Beta Phi is holding a candlelight vigil tonight at 7 p.m. in the Manzanita Bowl, and I really encourage all of you to attend. Thank you. Moving to agenda item 3, roll call.
Speaker Jackson.
Present.
Senator Becker.
Present.
Senator Bellman.
Present.
Senator Bussman.
Present.
Senator Camilly.
Present.
Senator Cook.
Present.
Senator Cynthia Lee.
Present.
Senator Compton.
Tardy excuse.
Senator Flangus.
Present.
Senator Kirkendall.
Present.
Senator Lippy.
Present.
Senator Ma.
Present.
Senator Mall.
Present.
Senator Martinez.
Present.
Senator Panningbenn.
Present.
Senator Sarwa.
Absent excuse.
Senator Say.
Present.
Senator S. Smith.
Present.
Senator J. Smith.
Present.
Senator Sopka.
Present.
Senator Thummel.
Present.
Senator Toole.
Absent excuse.
Senator Chalmer.
Present.
Quorum's present.
Great, thank you. Moving into agenda item 4, adoption of minutes. I'm seeking a motion to approve the minutes from November 15th, 2017. Senator Smith.
I move to approve the minutes from November 15th, 2017 by unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Moving into subsection B, I'm seeking a motion to approve the minutes from November 29th, 2017. Senator Flangus.
I move to approve the minutes from November 29th, 2017 through unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. I'm seeking a motion to approve the minutes from December 6th, 2017. Senator Thummel.
I move to approve the minutes from December 6th, 2017 by unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. I'm seeking a motion to approve the minutes from December 13th, 2017. Senator Lee.
I move to approve the minutes from December 13th, 2017 through unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Thank you very much. We're all caught up on those. Moving into agenda item 5, public comment. We have two very special guests today. First is Provost Kevin Carman. So welcome. Thank you if you want to come up here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody had a good break, comes back fully recharged and ready to do it again, right? Good. So I appreciate Senator Jackson inviting me to come visit with you, and I wanted to in particular tell you about an initiative that we've been working on for about a year and a half now, and it's still a work in progress and it's still evolving. I met with the leadership group of ASUN last semester and gave them an overview of what we're aspiring to do as a university, and broadly speaking, what it is we're looking to increase our international enrollment at the campus. When we look at ourselves in comparison to other institutions that are similar to us, land-grant universities in the West and places like University of Utah, for example, and if we look at that in terms of international enrollment of undergraduate students in particular, we are thankful for Utah State because Utah State is the only university that has fewer international students than we do. And so you'll find that I try to be funny, and sometimes I'm not being funny. But the point is that if you look at land-grant universities, major research universities in the West, we have a very low international student population. It's about 1.8%. And institutions of our size and type would typically have between 6 to 8, as much as 10% of their students coming from other nations. And so we would like to improve upon that. If you look at our mission statement, one of the things that we say is that we want to educate global citizens. And in order to do that, we feel like our students need to have an opportunity to be exposed to citizens from around the world. We hope that, I hope that some of you maybe have had the opportunity to do study abroad, and we want to encourage that through USAC and continue that. But the reality is a relatively small percentage of our students actually do a study abroad, and there are often very practical reasons why they're not able to do that. What we would like to do is bring the world to us, if you will, to bring more students from around the world to the UNR campus. That's not a trivial thing to do. So how do you go out and recruit international students? And so we have recruiting offices in Vegas, and we go to San Francisco, and we go to Los Angeles, and we can go around various parts of the U.S., but it's very difficult to have a global presence to really truly to recruit students from around the world. And so what many universities are doing to address that now are to work with private companies that are called pathway providers. And these pathway providers, what their business is to be out in the world in various countries and have recruiting stations where they attract students, and they work specifically with individual universities and recruit students to bring them to the institutions. They are, of course, for-profit universities, but they can be quite transformational for universities in being able to have a truly international impact. We have, for example, now a very good relationship with Japan. We've been recruiting students through a specific program in Japan, but it's very difficult to replicate that in Brazil and China and India and Ghana and Italy. Those, it's very difficult and expensive to replicate. So we've been, about a year and a half ago, we started talking with various companies and sort of interviewing them and they us, and we narrowed it down to one company that we've been working with and talking with for about the past year, and that company was called Intu, and that's what I talked to your leadership group about. Well, a lot has changed in the last year, nationally and internationally. And the landscape for recruiting international students has become much more challenging. I just came back from a meeting in Washington 10 days ago where I met with 15 other provosts. Three of them were from Canada and others from U.S. universities, from research universities around the country. And we talked about this issue, and there's across the nation, universities are having a much more difficult time recruiting international students to come to the United States. Some of that has to do with the current political climate, and I don't mean to get into politics here, but that's just the reality of the times that we're facing. Our colleagues in Canada, on the other hand, are experiencing about a 40% increase in the number of international students. So the students that were otherwise coming to the U.S. are now opting to go to Canada or Australia. Not so many of them are going to Europe, but Canada and Australia seem to be big winners. But still a lot of international students coming to the U.S., it's just become a lot more competitive. Well, after a year of working with Intu and going through this tumultuous change during that time, ultimately they came back to, I had a personal meeting with their leadership 2 weeks ago, and they decided that now was not a good time for them to be partnering with us, that they didn't feel like that they could deliver the number of students that we needed to make this a viable operation. And so they basically pulled out of our negotiations. That was disappointing in the sense that we've been working with them for a long time, but in this process of this year-long negotiation, we learned a lot about what the landscape of recruiting international students is, and like I said, it's a dynamic landscape, but there's lots of technical details. For example, in order to recruit international students through these pathway programs, you have to have a special type of visa certification from the Department of Homeland Security called an I-17 pathway. I didn't know anything about this before we started talking, but now we know, and we have our application through the Department of Homeland Security, and it takes several months to receive that, and so we've set ourselves up to have that authorization. We have developed a variety of curricula that would be associated with graduate and undergraduate programs for having students transition from international programs into our degree programs. We've identified a location where we could have an initial office for a program like this, and would be over in the continuing education building. And I could go on and on, but there are lots of things that we learned about how to recruit international students and how to work with pathway providers. And so our plan is, and President Johnson, I've spoken with him personally about this week, and he remains committed that we want to internationalize our campus and increase our recruitment of international students. So we are not done with this by any means. It's just a little bump in the road like anything in business. Sometimes it works out and then sometimes it doesn't. And you go, there are many other providers, and in fact there's another one that I won't mention their name so as to not get us going down a path that we might not wind up on, but there's another company that we spoke to that's very interested in working with us, and we think that we will likely go back to them and talk to them about a partnership. There's also, you're here on campus, I'm sure you all know about the University Study Abroad Consortium, otherwise affectionately known as USAC. And USAC's primary, anybody here have done a USAC study abroad? Let's see if hands like this, but okay. It's a great program, and in fact, they just received a national award as being the second best study abroad program in the country. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? And that's our USAC. Well, but their primary mission has been to provide study abroad opportunities for members of the USAC consortium, and there's about 28 universities that are members of that, and they go off to places all the time. They have 28, 29 locations around the world. They are now getting into the business of essentially doing the other part of identifying students from other countries and having them come back to U.S. universities, not unlike what I just described for pathway providers. And they're starting in China, but our understanding is that they have designs to expand their program to other countries. And so we're now in the very early stages of discussions with USAC about how we might be able to work with them to attract more international students. Their focus still will be on undergraduate, which is important to us, but we also want to attract international students, so we probably will be working with a pathway provider of some type to help us enhance at least our recruitment of international students. I expect that we're going to bring some clarity to this issue on where we stand with this in within the next month or so, and we'll decide, okay, here's the new direction we're going. But I just want you to know that we remain very committed to this initiative and think that it's in the best long-term interest of the university. And I would be remiss if I wasn't transparent enough to say that there's one other element of why this is good for the university to bring international students, and it relates to money. These students are full-pay, out-of-state students. They pay essentially about three times the tuition that in-state students pay, much more than California students pay. For example, or WUI students, some of you are WUI, maybe Nevada Advantage. These are full-pay out-of-state students, and they bring substantial revenue to the university. We are an institution that it takes money to run the place. And one of the reasons it's attractive to me to have international students, diversifying our campus as they will, but also bringing the revenue with their full-pay out-of-state tuition, that makes it easier for us to provide the services that we need to make us a great university, and lessens the need to come back to you as students and say we need to increase your tuition or we're asking for additional fees. So this is a way of bringing in revenue that helps take some of the financial burden off of the students that are already here. So I want to be completely transparent that this isn't all just about diversifying the university. We wouldn't do it if we didn't think it was in the best interest of the university, but it has the added advantage that would also help bring in another stream of revenue to help us do the things that we want to do as an institution. So kind of details on this, but I want to pause there if you don't mind, Senator Jackson, and allow you to ask questions about that or anything else that you might have on your mind. You might play stump the provost, it's not that hard to do, but I would be happy to try and answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, questions? Yes, Senator Becker.
A comment for when you find out who the pathway provider is for your international students. You said you might find out in a month, maybe 2 months, but when you do like come to a final decision, could you mind briefing the Senate body again?
We would be delighted to do so. Yeah, and the nature of these, each one of these pathway providers has a little different business model, and the one that we were working with Intu probably has the most sort of narrowly defined and highly structured, and that was part of our challenges with negotiating with them as well, is that it was sort of their way or the highway, and in the end we had some difficulty coming to agreement on some of the terms, but some of the other companies are a lot more flexible and sort of willing to work and adapt to us, and that's what we're hoping for going forward, but I'd be delighted to come back and tell you that.
So you explained a lot of why we want the international students to come here, but there's not a whole lot of why they would want to come here. So what's the tactic for recruiting international students to come here? What added benefit are they going to get from coming to this university?
Here specifically to the University of Nevada, Reno? Well, there's actually, I should have mentioned one other element of why Intu decided that they didn't want to continue to work with, to negotiate with us. It was the national landscape is one element. another factor that they said when they were talking with their recruiters and around the country, and they talked with them and get the perceptions of what students think specifically about Nevada, and this is Nevada, the state, and those students don't separate necessarily initially what, you know, University of Nevada versus the state of Nevada. And one negative image that we're dealing with now is the shootings in Las Vegas. And if people know about those, you know, the worst shooting in the history of the nation, and it's in the state of Nevada. And so when you're look, when there's other factors already out there that may be negative nationally, and you look, well, I don't want to go to, I'm worried about the U.S., but Nevada's got this additional problem. They're asking questions about politics. They're, apparently foreign students are asking, is that a red state or a blue state? So they're savvy about the political landscape. But some of the plus sides, so those are some of those are what I view as serious issues that we need to be aware of. But I also think that those sorts of things fade with time. Okay, this is a real and current issue, the shootings in Las Vegas, and it's tragic. But those things hopefully will fade with time, and we won't have a recurrence of them. On the positive side, why INTU was so interested in working with us was there is a national, international image of what's happening in Northern Nevada. You got Tesla, you got Switch, you got Amazon, all of these tech companies moving to Northern Nevada, and this is very attractive to students. And not to mention, oh by the way, Lake Tahoe not too far away, San Francisco just over the hill if you want to go. There's a lot of attractive elements of that. Why would you want to come? You might ask the question, why would you want to come to University of Nevada, Reno versus Washington State or Colorado State or Utah? Or so people may be looking regionally. Or you may even say versus University of South Florida or some other. But every place needs to differentiate itself. But the reason that they came to us initially was because the exciting things that are happening in this region, really, honestly, the growing reputation of the university, a tier one U.S. News and World Report university. And so a lot of really positive elements and a lot of things that make us different from any other university that you, now every university has its strengths and weaknesses, of course, but there are enough unique aspects about our university and our region that we can build a pretty strong case for why students would want to come here. And that's basically the answer to that.
Other questions?
Any general questions? I tell you, our enrollment's looking good. We have a record spring to fall retention rate of almost 93%. So thank you all for coming back. And so we were actually a little worried about that with all of the, you know, the upsetting events from last semester. Would some people decide, you know, I just I maybe don't want to go on with this? But the students have come back, and we're very pleased to see that we have strong enrollment.
Anything else? Yes.
I was just wondering, are there like certain majors that are more popular among international students?
There are. Yeah, they tend to. So that's a really good question. Like you, when you came to the university, nobody told what your major?
Biology.
Biology. I'm a biologist too, so go biology. But nobody told you, you know, you have to major in biology. You chose that. And so that would be the same for international students. They would choose the major that they want to pursue. But the demographics, the reality is that we know that most of the students are looking to pursue degrees in business and engineering and perhaps science and maybe some healthcare professions, less in the humanities and social sciences in the arts. But what I hear from other recruiters is that often students come thinking, okay, and often it's their parents that are saying, you need to go be a mechanical engineer or whatever that might be. But when they get here, they discover other majors that they hadn't considered. And just like many of you, and like I did, I changed majors a couple of times. Many of those students do change majors. But the reality is that the majority of those students are attracted to those business and the STEM disciplines. Yeah.
Anything
Very
else?
Good question.
All right. Seeing no other questions, thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. Have a great semester.
Transportation. Thank you guys so much for being here as well.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah.
yourselves, that would be awesome.
I'm Dan Anthony, I'm the shuttle supervisor.
And I'm Joan Atkins, I'm the office manager of Parking and Transportation Services.
Thank you.
So, I wanted to give you a little bit of a briefing, just some information. A little over a year ago, and then again last month, we briefed the president on both the parking budget and the transportation budget. And I think, as most of you are aware, our current patch transit shuttle system is no longer financially feasible. And let me show you why. So, in this presentation, we'll go over the patch transit budget, shuttle operations, the patch transit current system that we have. Have all of you ridden the shuttle system?
Okay, good.
Our current
Thank you. Map,
and then how we want to solve the transportation deficit with basic service and a map showing you that route, and then also how we want to solve the transportation deficit extended service and show you that map, and then the next steps it'll take to get there. So the challenges with our funding model has, ever since the shuttle's been created, we have subsidized the shuttle with parking. So everything, parking subsidized transportation, because basically the transportation has a limited revenue stream. So our pack transit system is underwater $570,000. With parking fees, we don't adequately account for deferred maintenance. So for example, we have 2.95 million total square feet of asphalt on campus. That's huge. And so with that, we assume the service life of an asphalt area is 40 years. The replacement cost of today's dollars is $10 a square foot if you want to replace it. If we just want to maintain it, we maintain every parking lot and garage surface area about every 8 years, and the total cost is $1 a square foot. So if we were going to replace an average of 1/40th square feet of asphalt, it would be $740,000, and then the maintenance cost alone is $155,000. So we're looking at $900,000 a year in replacing and maintaining our asphalt, which is a lot of asphalt on campus. Now, we don't expect the transportation budget to do this, but we do expect the transportation budget to cover some of this. The roadways that the shuttles go on will need to cover part of it. So here's a breakdown of our operations budget. So Silver Line, you know Silver Line's the East Campus line? Okay. So it brings in a little bit of revenue with the apartments. We have contracts with those apartments on East Campus. And we also sell shuttle bus passes to those students who get on the bus there. So we make a little bit of revenue. But as you can see, our expenses way out revenue. And then here's the deferred maintenance I was talking about. So we feel like this is the percentage that the transportation department area should cover in asphalt. Now the blue line, no revenue. Nobody pays us to run the blue line. So essentially that's taken out of the parking budget. So and here's these expenses for the blue line. So with the silver line and blue line together, we're in the hole about $517,000. So we said, okay, how are we gonna, here's our pack transit current system. So we have two lines of service. We have the blue line and the silver line. The blue line services 324,000 riders annually. That's a lot of rides. We currently run 7:30 to 10 p.m. 4 days a week, and 7:30 to 5 p.m. on Fridays. We have two buses on route, 9 stops, and a 15-minute loop. But we're losing $423,000 annually on the blue line. The silver line, that's the East Campus, services 207,000 riders annually, which is a lot. 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. 4 days a week, and 7:30 to 5:30 on a Friday. Again, two buses on route, 12 stops, and it's a 20-minute loop, and we lose $107,000 annually. So the next slide shows you the map. So the yellow is the blue line, and the orange is the silver line. Kind of shows you where they go and what they're currently doing. And so we said to us, okay, so how are we gonna solve this transportation deficit? So we met as a team and said, all right, we can provide students a basic service. This service will be funded strictly from parking and transportation. And with this basic service, we'll decrease operating costs by $305,000 with just the new basic service. Unfortunately, it's not the best service. It reduced hours that we currently have. The hours would be 8 to 4:30, 5 days a week. Well, we all know classes start earlier than that and they go later than that. There'd be fewer buses. We go from 4 buses, 2 on each route, down to 2 buses. The increased wait time, we go from 6 minutes to 15 minutes to wait per bus. There'll be 12 stops, it'll be a 30-minute loop, and it will not run during winter, spring break, or summer. And this is what this would look like. So it's one big loop. A few senators took this route with me, and I don't think it was very popular. We went on this route, and they said that this is something that we really don't think the students would like. It's a long route, it's one route, and it takes a long time to get from the north parking lots all the way down to that. You'd have to go to the East Campus residence, and you'd have to come back home. So it's not the most efficient route. So when I met with the group, I said, okay, what do students want? What do you guys want? And so they came up with an extended service. And this would be funded by the Parking Transportation Services and some student support. So adding this extended service would add $257,000 to the cost of the basic route, but it would operate Monday through Thursday from 7 a.m., which is great for morning classes, to 10 p.m., it's great for evening classes, and then Friday from 7 to 5. Fridays really aren't heavily utilized, and so this is an option that they felt would work for students. We'd have 2 buses on the main line and 1 on the express. We'd have 9 stops on the main line and 6 on the express. And I'll show you a map of this. There'd be a 19-minute loop on the main line, 13-minute loop on the express. The wait time would be 9.5 minutes and 13 on the express. Again, it will not run during winter, spring break, and summer, and that's just because our statistics show we don't really need to do that. There's not a lot of students who ride it in the summer or breaks. But this would cost $12 per student annually, which is $6 a semester. So, cost of a Starbucks. Anyway, we wouldn't also just put the fees on you. We put the fees on subsidies from the apartments. We would increase those. One apartment complex contract is due this year. We're going to raise them by 10%. And then as the remaining apartments contracts increase, we'll renegotiate with them and make sure that they pay their fair share as well. And then the exciting part about this extended service is we would add tracking GPS technology, which Dan, maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
We're looking to install a program software under the buses so that a student could open an app on their phone and they could actually live time see the exact location of the bus. So they can know when they get to the stop, I just missed the bus and I've got a 5-minute wait, or the bus is coming and I'll sit tight and be here.
I think that's the biggest complaint I get is people say, when's the bus coming? You know, like, did I miss it? I don't want to, if it's cold, I don't want to wait outside and it's not coming on time. So with this tracking system, and we've partnered with Escort, and we're going to, I'll put them on all of our shuttle buses as well as the campus Escort vehicles. So we'll all know who's where at what time. So that's kind of exciting. So students will now know when the bus is coming and won't have to kind of guess. So this is what the map will look like with the extended shuttle service map. So the blue line is the main basic service. And then the orange area is the express. And that the express basically focuses on getting those students from East Campus down to Ag and then go back up Valley Road. So then these students who just really want to get from the north to the south don't have to go over to the main apartment complex. So if we want to pursue this, ASUN would need to draft a resolution for a vote in this fall of 2018. It would have to be placed on the Board of Regents agenda items in late December. And then we would initially continue to subsidize this service that I just showed you. Parking and transportation would subsidize that through FY19, and then we would start the new student fee in fall 2019, which is our first one, if it's implemented. So that's kind of where we are. We're at a point where we just can't subsidize our current shuttle system any longer. We have too much asphalt, we have too many projects we have to do on this campus to maintain the quality of the parking lots. So in order to do that, we can either provide this basic service that seems like it's really not very popular, not very recommended by your group, or we could go with an extended campus shuttle with your support.
Any questions?
heard you this.
I heard possibly through other organizations that you guys maybe have thought of charging students for like a bus pass. Was that something you guys also thought of, or was that kind of like vetted out already?
You know, we do the bus pass for the East Campus residents when they board the bus, but we don't want to slow down the service. And I think if we had students buy a bus pass, and that would be an added time constraint by showing you a bus pass, and if you don't have one, we want to make it a service available for everyone. And it's noted that students ride the shuttle most often than anyone, than any other group. So we'd really like to just focus on student involvement and just getting a fee implemented to where you can just hop on the bus at any time, and you don't have to worry about showing any kind of pass.
Yes.
So, for the record, I'm Lish Kernan from GSA. You said that it's going to help in parking situation, and the route is from one end of the campus to other end of the campus, and people around that don't usually take their cars to come to the university. I don't know how it's going to help the parking situation.
Sure. Well, the East Campus residents don't bring their cars to campus, which is great. So they leave their cars at Highlands and Sterling in that area, and then they just take the shuttle bus over. So that's allowing me not to build more parking right away. If those students did bring their cars, we'd have to, you know, create more parking for them. What I was saying about the main line is that if they park in the north lot, they don't have to go over to the apartments any longer. They can just take the short route down and get to class quicker. And I think that's what students want. They want to hop on the bus. Make sure it gets to their location in a timely manner. That's what the shuttle is for. I don't think people ride it for leisure. Maybe. No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Occasionally, if it's snowing real hard.
Yeah. And we have great drivers, so maybe. But.
Any other questions? Yes, Senator Ma.
So basically, if you don't go through with option one or option two, what exactly would happen in terms of like the buses or like jobs loss, things like that?
Well, if we went to the basic service, we'd go from four buses down to two, and we would need to let go of some drivers. But it would be a service that we would provide, but it wouldn't be very
user-friendly.
Right, or very, it wouldn't be inconvenient. You could probably walk quicker than we could get moving out on the shuttle. But with my budget constraints and having to worry about the asphalt deterioration on campus, I really need to focus on that part of the parking budget and figure out how we're going to fund PAC transit. Because from what I hear from the students, this is very important for you. You all like the shuttles, and I don't know that $12 a year is reasonable or not reasonable. You're the ones who would need to tell me that. That's what it would cost to fund this additional extended service. But I feel like it's worth it.
Other questions? Senator Becker.
You said that students would have to pay $12. Was that per semester?
It was $6 a semester.
$6
and
a semester.
It would be a, I'm not sure how the financing works. You probably know way more than I do, but it would be a mandatory student fee.
And what is the current fee that students are paying that attributes to the buses?
Nothing. Okay. So we're subsidizing the transportation budget with the parking budget, and that's where I'm struggling. So we just don't have $517,000 a year to subsidize this. We're getting a little revenue from the apartment complexes on the Valley Road side, on the East Campus side, but it doesn't cover nearly what we need to make sure that an efficient service.
Anyone else? Do you have a question?
Yeah. So in the last slide that you had, it said if a last one, next one, yeah. You said ASU and draft resolution, and then it's going to go to Board of Regents meeting. And is it used by only undergraduate students or graduate as well, faculty? If that's so, GSA also approve it to go to Board of Regents. So I don't know how that's going to.
Yeah, I think we'll get with the GSA on another level and another time and present something similar to this. But of course, we want everyone's approval to move forward with it. It's of course not immediate. Parking would continue to subsidize this for another year until we could get the funding available from students. So it's not that we're going to end it. I mean,
other questions? All right, thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
Immediately, the United Nations denounced Rhodesia, urged all countries to boycott it, and President Johnson complied. Now remember, this is 1965, just when the Vietnam War was starting to heat up. And by a nice coincidence, it was two major sources of chromium, which I'm told is of vital military importance, of Rhodesia and Russia. So rather than trade with those horrible racists, Lyndon Johnson forced all Americans wanted to buy chromium to buy it from Russia. At the same time as he was pouring American men into Vietnam, forcing the American people to finance the killing of our own servicemen. This went on for most of the war. Then toward the end, the news came out that, surprise, surprise, the Russians were buying Rhodesian chromium and reselling it to us. Also, because the Rhodesian chromium was of a better quality, there was reason to believe that they were adulterating before they resold it to us. With that, the ban was dropped. But even so, there were more than 100 liberals in the House who voted to keep the ban. I was living in Brooklyn at the time, and my congressman was Stephen Solos, one of the most left-wing Democrats in Congress. I wrote to him in a polite way and asked him could he explain the reasoning behind this vote, because to me it didn't make any sense at all, and I never got an answer. During the Cold War, the Russians had a name for American liberals: useful idiots. You can see why.
Dr.
Beatty. Hey, everyone, I'm going to keep it short, but welcome back. Just a few things. Speaker Jackson's going to be reaching out to senators to help her with some initiatives that have been kind of lingering around for a while. I'd appreciate it if you volunteer to help her out so we can get these pushed through. I think Mia's probably going to plead for some volunteers for some things. We really need them for this welcome back week, so if you have the time, please volunteer as well. Welcome back. I know last semester was a hard semester in many ways, and I would expect there might be some hard issues this semester as well, but I think you guys handled it with grace, and I hope you got enough rest to come back and continue to serve your constituents.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, moving into agenda item 6, reports to the ASUN officers, Senator, President of the ASUN.
All right, so first we're going to start off with a presentation from the graduate student president, Sanesh Kanon, on something that me and Hannah are going to be working on, Vice President.
All right, this is a fairly new idea. It's called University and Leadership Alliance, where over the past period, in terms of university administration and with the student governments and other governments on campus, has been completely isolated. So in order to bring everybody together and discuss on what will be the goals of all the organization together, and going forward, what are we gonna do, how are we gonna go forward with the university. So this University Leadership Alliance will have once in a semester meeting in the beginning of the semester, so we're gonna invite higher administration, like President Johnson and Provost and everybody, to discuss about what will be their goals and priorities for the semester or a year. And we also discuss about what are the problems that we face during past year, which is the diversity issues in this case. So one of the agenda items I'll pass on to you now is diversity issues, where Patricia Richard and other related people will be there to discuss openly. In this meeting, any question that should be asked will be asked. And when we leave that room, we'll be going out of that room with a clear-cut understanding that what is our demand, us as an entire university government, there are four governments on campus, GSA, ASUN, Faculty Senate, and Staff and Employee Council, SEC. There are four government bodies. So this board, ULA board, is of three executive members of each governing body forms a board. So everybody come together and discuss all the priorities and goals of each organizations, at the same time, goals and priorities of all the higher administration, one by one. And for every person gets 15 to 20 minutes, and it's open meeting, open to public, so everybody, even public and students or constituents, can come up there and ask any question they want, they would like to ask higher administration. This creates a clear transparency among everybody across university. I think it's a really great start, and President Noah and Speaker of the Senate, Vice President, everybody has been a really great support, and we're getting support from SEC and the Faculty Senate as well. Here, the over winter break, I sat down and wrote the governing document for this organization that we are intending to start, and this will be the tentative agenda for the first meeting of ULA on February 22nd, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. in Ballroom. So please pass along so that everybody has one. What I'm asking from ASUN is that there'll be a separate seating for GSA senators and ASUN senators, faculty senate. So I want all the council members and senators to be there and be part of this collaborative organization, ask questions to higher administration if there's any, and see what their goals are, priorities are for the university. And so that everybody, when we leave that room, we have a clear idea of where we are headed as a university.
Great. Do you guys have any questions for President Kanaan?
Yes.
Sarah Plinkus.
Because it's a public meeting, are we advertising that to students to come? Or
yes.
Is it, yeah?
Yes.
And so is there like a collaborative media campaign that we're doing?
No, it's just... on February 7th, I have a meeting with provost and deans of undergraduate and graduate school. When that is done, we'll be creating a Facebook page, and the emails will be sent out from GSA side, ASUN side, faculty side. So any particular campaigning or marketing that needs to be done for saying that we have this meeting on 22nd will be done. So this is open for everybody. And the GSA and ASUN hopefully we'll be putting in some money to get a reception after that for like lunch or something. That would be great. But that'll come next meeting or something. So we haven't planned that yet. I'll sit with Noah and plan that up. And then we'll bring it to your table next meeting.
Literally, did you have a question?
I had a similar question.
Oh, okay, great. Anyone else?
So any suggestions all would be great. Like, what do you think about the idea? And any more item that needs to be involved in the agenda, still is tentative, so anything that can be added, yes, first you can, I guess.
Is there a reason why you're only meeting once a semester?
That's because meeting every month would be very tiresome for all the organizations and people to come together. And I think once a semester is a very efficient way to do it. It's more like a smaller version of Regents meeting at university level where all the governments come together.
Any questions? Sarah Smith?
So I see that it's on a Thursday morning. How many students do you expect are going to be able to show up? I know for me personally, like, this time frame wouldn't work for me because of class. How many students do you think are going to
also
talk about?
So the idea of this, I wish Sandesh could have a drawing because here, this it's like three triangles of leadership of students, faculty, and the administration. We, you know, we're not going to get every single person from each triangle to come. Ideally, it would be on you guys as senators to represent the student voice at these meetings and take your constituents' concerns to them. Since you guys are the voice of the students, you're not going to get every student to come to these, just like you're not going to get every student to come to a Senate meeting.
Yeah.
So essentially, it wouldn't just be on the entire student body. There's going to be, you know, a limited amount of people that can go to these meetings.
So whole point of after this meeting, why are we doing this meeting? This body acts as an advising body for the higher-ups. So after every meeting, we'll have 15 minutes discussion with all the board members as to, after listening to all the goals and discussions, the board members from ASU and GSA, Faculty Senate and SEC create a resolution or a recommendation for the university to pursue. So within the two weeks after the meeting, all the board will get together again, put in all their thoughts of what should be done from the university side, and we'll be signing it off. And first, of course, we'll bring it to the Senate, and then we'll be submitting it to the university so that they can pursue the all the ideas from all the governing bodies. Because I know there are a lot of issues that are particularly only for undergrads, only for grads. That is different. That will not be discussed because there's ASUN for that. There are a lot of issues that is common for all the organizations, ASUN, GSA, diversity issues. Like, that's pretty common for everybody. Mm-hmm. This is a platform to address those kind of common common problems and common issues that we have on campus.
Any other questions? Senator Becker.
To go off what Senator Smith said about people maybe not being able to attend because it's 9 to 12 or something of that nature, I would imagine it's almost going to be a similar format to our Senate. You know, like, the doors aren't locked. It's obviously open. We can go and come as we please. So,
yes.
Say, if I have a 9 o'clock class, you know, come after that, something of that sort. And I think what's awesome about this is that there's so much room for continuity. Mm-hmm. But something that we struggle with in Senate is, like, being able to continue with programs after our term. However, you notice that the Faculty Senate and that our administration stay for much longer than our term, so I think you'll have no trouble with continuity.
Yes, and in order to ensure the continuity, one of the points in the governing document is that every GSA, ASUN, Faculty Senate, and SEC should include president or executive team should be actively part of ULA, University Leadership Alliance. So once you put that in your governing document, I think it'll be common across the board and it'll be easier for continuity and for the long run. And thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Any
more suggestions, thoughts, ideas? And I really appreciate all your support, and I would really appreciate if everybody try your best to be there that day and be the voice of your constituents.
I have a suggestion, but it would take a bit of time, so I'd rather just talk about it after the meeting.
Sure, I'll be here.
Great. All right, seeing no further questions, thank you so much, Sandesh, for coming and presenting. President Texera?
Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. But today I'm going to talk about the capital expense, so we're going to move forward. We were supposed to have a meeting today with Senator Flankus and Speaker Jackson, but we all had a meeting that stretched way over time, so we're going to meet in the near future. But now that we have accurate numbers, we're going to move forward with the capital expense. So I'm super excited about that, and I'm referring to Democracy Plaza, if you don't understand the capital expense piece. The next that I'm going to talk about, I had a meeting with the Facilities Resource Committee, and they talked about food handling and food waste on our campus. It was actually a really big subject. So basically, any of the food that we serve on our campus for club events or ASUN events, any food that the administration puts out or the faculty puts out for barbecues, we're going to have different protocols for it. And so that's going to be interesting for our clubs and organizations, and as well for anything that we put on, for food trucks, for all food handling on campus. But what encompasses that is food waste. So food waste on our campus is going to change a lot. Chuck and the facilities talked about how much food does get wasted on our campus. And we're going to be working with the people from the state and from John Sagebill, and we're going to be creating a compost system. With all of the food waste that we get from the different events that we throw out through the year. So I'm super excited about that, but I'll have more details to come on the food handling training we're going to have to get for all clubs and organizations and for barbecues and things that we put on of that nature. My report's kind of small tonight as I'm just getting back into the groove of things, but if you guys have any questions, let me know.
Questions?
I do want to say, too, there was a couple signs that were put on campus, I don't know if you guys saw them, that said UNR protects racists, and I invite you guys all to look at the tweets that were put up and engage with constituents on how they feel about what we've been talking about for a really long time, but additionally pushing out to your constituents the website that Hannah worked really hard on. So yeah, if you guys have any questions, let me know.
Any questions? Thank you. Vice President.
Awesome. Good evening. Good evening, Senators. First off, I want to start off with a kudos to Chief of Staff Bradley and Speaker Jackson on retreat. That was super awesome, and you guys make our job easy. The I was able to do the transfer session orientation with Senator Thummel, as well as the international students luncheon and orientation. Sadly, that was my last doing that, so all you're going to hear now is Thummel mimicking me, so I'm sorry that it was hard to retire it, but there is a few hats left from orientation if you guys want them for your constituents. I'll put them out for you guys to have. Other than that, we had our monthly meeting with President Johnson and the rest of his board this past Monday. I'll let Hannah kind of talk more about that, but we did bring up climate on campus, and what I really took away from it is the hate and bias report form that we have live on the Title IX website. We'll be doing quarterly reports about different issues that are facing students and kind of seeing how the campus climate is changing. My third thing, we're revisiting the role of the vice president with all the different publications. For this, I reached out to all the directors and kind of am asking for their plans for the semester, their distribution dates, any events that they have coming up in the semester that us as officers can attend, and then kind of any budget issues and changes into their accounts. So far, I've heard back from the general manager over at Wolfpack Radio, but I'm hoping to get all of those meetings done throughout these first few weeks. That kind of ends my report.
Great. Any questions? All right.
Thank you.
Is our Chief Justice here? Chief of Staff Brad?
Thank you all who came to retreat. And those of you that didn't, if you could kind of link up with Hannah or somebody else who did so you don't miss out on the information. We had some really great things on like ADA compliancy, and we have all those presentations and we'll send them out. I'm also going to be typing out all the things that were written on the whiteboards and sending them out to the different committee chairs and Hannah, and probably just share them all with you guys because we, as ASU officers, we obviously deal with almost everything that was on those boards. So you can kind of see the pros and cons of different initiatives that we've been working on. I know it's a little bit early, but I've been starting to plan banquet because obviously space is an issue when you're trying to plan for over 50 people. So the Joe is not available. So we're gonna be looking into PAC-friendly businesses and seeing if there's anywhere around here that has a big enough kind of like banquet feel that we could utilize. And Clubs and Orgs is gonna actually be doing a separate banquet this year, so we won't have to worry about accommodating both parties as much. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but I know it's a little bit early, but I'll keep it on your radar once I have a date. I have a lot of meetings this week with different directors in different parts of the campus, but Hannah and I are meeting with Amy about our CLDE proposal for Elect Her, so we're hoping to present at the CLDE conference this year on Elect Her and the success that we've had with that. Speaking of that, I'm sending out an email to all of the participants that went about elections and linking them to the packet so that we kind of get the ball rolling with that and make sure that, you know, hey, reminder, filings next week, etc. Also doing that with all of the people who had an interest over the summer with the internships and ASUN and getting involved, and just letting them know, like, hey, the timelines for these things are happening. Even if it's not running for Senate, you know, I know a lot of us, that's usually a cool first step, but it, you know, just letting them know the timelines of how those different positions are filled. Hey, programming is going to open up this time, around this time, you know, kind of the procedures, so keeping that in people's minds. I'm also going to be working with Director Henderson about 10 Days of Health and the It's On Us portion of it. So obviously when I was a senator, I did a lot of work with It's On Us, and I'm going to hopefully be helping her this year again with that program. Especially because April is Sexual Assault Prevention Month. And then, okay, I'm really excited about this. And sorry. So Friday, if you guys want to come and test out the new burrito place, they're going to be asking for name suggestions. And so that's from 12 to 1. Yeah, so kind of an example, UNLV has a similar thing, and it's called the Hey Red. So they're trying to find a name that we could use. And I'm going to be meeting with them tomorrow morning, actually, on having that item go towards the endowment fund, like I mentioned and when I was being appointed. So I'm really excited because that was something I really wanted to do. So we're going to be having a business kind of a meeting tomorrow, seeing if they're open to the idea, and then we can get the ball rolling with like business logistics, and I'll probably pull in some people.
who know how to do that because I don't, but that was really exciting news that they were interested in doing something with us. And that's about it. Other stuff with interns, I'm just working on restructuring the program because there was some things on the retreat pluses and deltas thing that I wanted to kind of address so that the next chief of staff and the next assistant directors all have a smoother time with that transition from the summer interest into when they're actually interns. So, if you guys have any questions, I'll take those.
Any questions for Chief of Staff Bradley? All right, thank you. Director of Clubs and Organizations.
Hey everyone.
Hello.
You guys had a great winter break. I'm gonna try to keep this as short as I can, but the first thing that I wanted to start off with is I recently was notified that for the candlelight vigil tonight, it was moved to DMS 110.
Great.
So I just wanted to let you guys know about that.
Thank you.
The next thing is club fair. So it's from 4 to 7 p.m. in the fourth floor of the Joe, we will be having our spring club fair. So as you guys know, we have one in fall and in spring. The main thing that I wanted to ask from you guys is that we need someone manning the ASUN table throughout the whole thing. Because I remember that 2 years ago, we had a problem with nobody being at the ASUN table. So I want to make sure that that isn't an issue for this year. So whether you guys wanted to do it in 30-minute shifts, one-hour shifts, I just want to make sure, and I can also coordinate with Speaker Jackson on this, I want to make sure that there's someone there who's going to be at the table that isn't from my department, because my department's going to be running around doing all these things, making sure that all the clubs, all the 174 clubs have everything they need. Next Friday is the funding hearing for Spring One. So, next Friday and Saturday is going to be the funding hearing for Spring One. So if you guys are in any clubs or if you guys know anybody who are in any organizations, the funding deadline for that is actually also this Friday. So 4 to 7 club is going to be club fair, and then the deadline for for Spring One funding is going to be 11:59. And that's all on the ASUN website, and I've already notified everybody through the club listserv. So we're going to have our first conduct hearing in the department. The last time that I believe this was done was around like 4 years ago, so I'm totally new to this, but we are glad to have the guidance of Dr. Beattie, especially to be able to guide us through this process. I don't want to talk specifically about what the club is or what the issue is, so as not to really spread anything for the moment, but we're going to be having that around the end of next week, coinciding possibly with the funding hearing either afterward or before. The next thing is, I did promise a department procedures manual presentation today, but I feel like it's best to hold off on that until next week. The science and engineering job post for Rachel's club commissioner position, we changed the closing date to Monday. So I'm not going to be interviewing anybody until after Monday, and you guys will get a nomination at 2 Senate meetings from now. Speaker Jackson and I are going to be working together on a project. Hopefully it'll be something geared towards like legislation where we can really combine the functions of our department and really get something moving with that. We haven't solidified any details, so we're going to be meeting about it sometime next week to talk about that. So one other thing is the Clubs and Orgs banquet, that's going to be different from the regular banquet, as Chief of Staff Bradley said, because we feel that there's going to be a lot of there's more club awards this year and more stuff going on, so we're going to be taking that out of our budget to be able to host a separate thing for that, to make sure that the banquet for ASUN overall doesn't go too long. The last thing that I wanted to mention is I just wanted to address this. So during retreat, I heard from a few people that some people weren't really sure what my department does, and so I consider that might be like a possible issue. So if you guys are asking like what is Clubs and Orgs doing right now, or like what have they been like working on, I really just want you to know that, exec included, that this, I'm very open about what it is that I want to, so please just talk to me if you guys aren't sure. And I know we have like a lot of projects, but I don't want the work of all my awesome commissioners to really just go unnoticed. So I just wanted to put that out there, that if you guys guys don't know what's going on in my department, there is a lot that's going on, but if you want something specific or if there's any way you guys want to get involved, please just let us know. But again, there's, yeah, I just wanted to address that. And that's it for my report.
Any questions for Director DeSmer? Senator Becker.
Can you please repeat the club fair information?
4 to 7 p.m. this Friday in the fourth floor of the Joe.
Anyone else? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Director of Event Programming.
Hello. Okay, so the start of Welcome Back Week was today with our Quesadillas and Casey event. I'm sorry if I smell like canola oil, but that's just how it is. So tomorrow we're not having an event. We have to postpone it until next week because our beanies that we were going to give away are on back order. So the next event will be on Friday. It's Ice with the Aces. It starts at 7. If you need shuttle transportation, that starts at 6:30 in front of the DC, right by Argenta Hall. And then on Monday is our coffee crawl that starts at 9:30 in the Casey Rotunda. And then the Making Ties event is at 6:30. I hope that you have all signed up on gift calls, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Only two of you have, so that's a lie. But please do that. 6:30 on Tuesday. Thank you. And then we'll have our swag giveaway on Wednesday, which will just be in front of the Joe. We're handing out beanies, and we're also going to do a collaborative, like, New Year's resolution chain kind of cutesy event last minute. Other things in progress right now is obviously the spring concert, family weekend, the drag show, poetry and pizza. Andy Zeisler, in collaboration with Department of Diversity and Inclusion, she is the founder of Bitch, can I say Bitch on public record? Okay, Bitch Media. So she's the founder of Bitch Media. She's starting a feminist movement, so this would be like a girl power speaker, pretty cool. Celebration of Mackie. Programmer Dutcher is working on 10 Days of Health with Director Henderson, and I've asked for my department to send me new spring tradition ideas by next Thursday. Any questions? Yes.
I missed the ice skating part. I know it's on Friday. What's the time and then the transportation?
Yes, so Friday at 7, and then transportation starts at 6:30. Programmer Dutcher is every half hour, right?
And do students need to bring their wolf cards?
Yes.
Okay.
And that all that information is on, it should be on all the social media outlets, also on our handbills and posters and whatnot.
Any other questions? I know we were all laughing, but I really want to reiterate the importance of attending the Making Ties event.
Yes.
Programming has done so much work in making this outreach opportunity for all of us, and for us not to take opportunity of that, take advantage of that opportunity is a shame. So make sure you sign up on GivePulse, attend it, get ready to engage and talk to people. It's really, really important. Questions? Thank you.
Okay.
And Director Cannell, if you wouldn't mind posting that link on the Facebook page or something
for the
again, I think that would
again?
Be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's up there, so just search for it, but
yeah.
Just to give everyone a reminder, that would
definitely
be great if you wouldn't mind.
Yes.
Thank you. Director Blue Crew.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Awesome.
That was weak. That was bad. That was a bad one. So, if you don't know, our men's basketball team is ranked number 23 in the nation, so that's a pretty exciting. We're projected as a 6 seed right in the tournament right now, bless you, so hopefully that stays. Right now, our department is just focusing on our events for BUNLV week. It's not really going to be a week. It's going to be 3 days because the game's on a Wednesday. So we're looking to have events on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so that should be pretty fun. And then besides that, I think I mentioned this at retreat. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But we're going to try to have our first event for baseball and softball at the end of this year. In years past, it just hasn't been done because that season starts pretty close to when our terms end, but I think it's doable this year. I looked at the schedule a couple weeks ago, and it looked like it was. I'm going to double check to make sure things are all good, and so we're going to be going on that. And then really besides that, my big focus internally for the rest of this semester is really building a foundation in the department with documents and procedures and things of that nature, so the next director has a better idea of what they're doing and what they should be doing. And so Blue Crew can kind of culturally and, you know, functionally be different than how it has been in the past. So we're really focusing on doing that. And besides that, I think that's all I got for you guys.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you, Director Mason. Director of Legislative Affairs.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
So, just a few things. As you all know, I lost a projects coordinator and policy analyst last semester. Me and Keeley finished up interviews, and we're proposing two candidates to oversight this Friday. Their names are Mackenzie Nelson for projects coordinator and Katie Worrell for policy analyst. Mackenzie was an RA, so he's done some voter registration drives in the past, and Katie was an intern in the department previously. So after the interview process, I'm pretty comfortable with them being members of the department. If you don't know, Assemblywoman Joyner is not going to be pursuing her seat this session, so people have started to reach out to me in order to meet, discuss student-led initiatives, and try to see where we're at as far as what our priorities are for next session. If you have questions, concerns, any kind of recommendations, any resolutions that you actually want to see get done, please let me know. But keep in mind, if we're going to keep anyone, bring anyone to campus, they have to, we also have to bring their competitors to campus as well, or make a concerted effort to do so, just to make sure we're not, you know, beating around any legal mumbo jumbo. Right now, I'm meeting with the policy and projects directors. They're communicating about what we're going to do with the Wolf Pack Smart Talk series and the policy chalkboard that we were running last semester. We actually saw a 60% increase overall. It's technically 61% increase in attendance for that event. Still only about 50 people, but we're trying to keep that increase this coming semester. And Policy Director Oberholzer is going to be updating me about the legislative tracker tonight. So, that, any questions?
Questions? Thank you, Director Schultz. Director of Diversity and Inclusion.
Tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the ballroom is the Multicultural Greek Council's Spring Yard Show. It's going to be pretty lit. You should go. I may or may not be performing. Also, next month is Black History Month, and for those that don't know, the BCC is the Black Cultural Cooperative here on campus. They're composed of the historically black organizations, so like ABLE, SOAM, Black Student Organization, Phi Beta Sigma, Delta Sigma Theta, black organization on campus. So there's gonna be a lot of events happening in February, so be ready for me to just be spitting events out at you, and hopefully you can make one or two of them. It's gonna be a fun time. So right now what I'm working on is the diversity campaign. I've been meeting with Inkblot, emailing them, and so it's gonna be a Many Wolves One Pack campaign accompanied with identity workshops throughout the semester and hopefully continuing on. So you'll be hearing more about that. Hopefully I'll have more details next week on that. And yeah, that's all for me right now.
Any questions? Thank you so much, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Director of Sustainability, Commissioner. Director of Campus and Public Relations.
Hello, everyone. So, so I'm meeting with Public Affairs Committee on Friday, so I'm just going to go to their meeting, and hopefully by then I'll be able to have had enough conversations to kind of like help getting established with the testing of the K-12. It should only be about three events that we're kind of trying to do just for the test run, which like three of the ones that we're closest to when it works out. What's my phone, I guess, but is there anyone who like already, like for any of the three, like well, just if the timings aren't all like set in stone, I have like some volunteers on people who are interested in participating participating with that? Like,
can you repeat, like the tentative dates?
We don't have any tentative dates.
Or like,
so I can like kind of schedule it around volunteers,
okay,
too, is what we're kind of
at.
Oh, probably, I'd say like the second week of February through like the, you know, first week of March, maybe.
Senator Becker.
Director Walberg, you want to kind of like explain what we had talked about that volunteers would be doing essentially?
Yeah. So basically with our plan, we pretty much, with the high schools that have like reached back to us, they kind of all have agree on like three particular, I can't remember them right now, I'm really very foggy right now, but three different kind of ways we can go about like kind of top down effect to get through our community. So it'll mostly be kind of going to the leadership classes and helping out with like an agenda or with like a kind of a classroom plan that we have kind of around leadership building, what it's like to translate, you know, a peer's experience to high school or high school to college leadership. And yeah, so I can ask in next week too, because it wouldn't be for like a little bit, but is there anyone like off the bat who, okay. Okay.
Senator Smith.
Okay.
If you could just keep tabs of.
Yeah, I think I can remember that.
Got it.
That's pretty much people who've already kind of talked to me, but. Okay, perfect. Also, we're wrapping up the Best of Reno 2017, and that should be going out by next week. And also this week, I'm planning a meeting with my interns, because now we have all of the decal for the fact-filling business about the year on it. So we're just gonna have a little day where we just, you know, write out all the addresses and just mail that stuff out. And yes, hope you guys, if we get out on time, hopefully you guys can go to Heaven's Vigil too.
Thank you.
Oh, any questions?
Any other questions? Thank you, Director Wahlberg. I have the report of the Director of Campus Wellness. I apologize for not being there today. I have a new job that started and I'm still working out on the timing. But 10 days of help will be from April 2nd to April 13th. Yay. Programmer Dutcher, my amazing intern Blair, and I have been working hard to reserve everything and get the details finalized. Next week, I will bring in the full outline of the events. Also during the 10 days of help, we are trying to have an ASUN be co-sponsoring a talk given by Clint Markalock, who is an attempted suicide survivor with the counseling center, and help bring his, and help bring his story closer to our campus. I'm also working closely with the counseling center on their eating disorder week. If anyone wants to help with the 10 days of health, please let me know by email or text. That was from Director Henderson, Attorney General.
Hey, Saunders, it's good to be back. Tough crowd today, huh? So, with the election season dawning upon us in a couple of weeks, I'm sure not all of you were at the retreat that we had over break. That's right, okay. So, just a quick reminder, I gave a presentation on elections decorum. So that's essentially, the takeaway is just don't do any campaigning in here. Don't wear any shirts, any buttons. Just leave all campaigning outside of the Center for Student Engagement. Take that out there. You can talk about it out there. Do whatever you want outside of this room. Just don't take it in here. And then another project I'm going to be working on this semester, because I didn't get to finish it last semester, was reviewing the duties of all the executive officers in the SAS and changing anything that needs to be changed, because sometimes those duties get a little outdated. But other than that, just make sure you ask me if you have any questions about elections decorum or anything along those lines.
Any? Thank you, Attorney General Harris.
You're welcome.
Election Chair.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Okay, so elections isn't in a few weeks, it's Monday, but we're super excited, super prepared, everything's good. Today I met with Inkblot, James, and Raul talking about how we're opening filing, how the profiles will be online, and all of that, how we're executing our PR. That's what were my notes, right? We went over the budget and the ADA live stream and our options for that. Other than that, we're just ready to roll and rumble with the election season.
Questions?
How are people being notified that filing's open?
We have our media PR right now. There's also posters that have been posted by Inkblot in the dorms, as well as other posting locations on campus. They're making extra ones for me to put up in other separate areas, but that's what we have right now. But yeah.
Are there any plans to talk to clubs or organizations about filing?
Yes, I was planning on doing that next week during the filing. We have two meetings next week, the filing workshop as well as the How to Campaign Efficiently workshop. But I'll be attending those meetings. We didn't have anyone hired yet, so I'll be attending as many meetings as I can. I kind of cleared out my schedule next week for me to pop in places and encourage people to run.
Great. Questions? Sarah Plagas?
Is there a graphic of, like, you know, like all the workshops and stuff that's like worked up that we can like, that you can like put on the Facebook page that we can put out to our like social media?
Yeah, I'll contact, because I met with Inkblot today to go over that, so they're finalizing it, and then they'll probably send it to me as soon as they finish it, and then I can put it on the Facebook.
Anyone else? Thank you. As for my report, sorry, my computer is on its last leg. I took a picture, don't worry. Okay, so welcome back, everyone. I'm really looking forward to a productive and impactful last 3 months of office with all of you. I wanted to applaud a few people who have done some great work over the break. First of all, she's not here anymore. Oh, no, she is. Give a round of applause to Chief of Staff Bradley for executing. And then I wanted to give a round of applause to the Department of Programming as well for having an awesome first welcome week event and the rest of the welcome week. And then, of course, the Department of Clubs and Organizations. I don't think they're here, but for planning club fair, I know that's not an easy task. So. And I just want to say thank you for everyone in Senate that did attend retreat. I think I can speak for everyone and say that we had a really incredible breakout session. I thought it was very productive in talking about outreach, different actionable items that we can have, and improving how we do our jobs for this semester. And I'm really looking forward to all the work and all the change that we can make. I wanted to touch base on the website that some people have mentioned, because if you didn't come to retreat, you didn't get to see that. But the website that they're referring to is the Student Rights Expression and Responsibility website. And so just to clarify that a little bit, earlier in the semester I was talking about this pamphlet that we were making that was consolidating all the different resources and all the different university policies that has to do with students organizing. But after a lot of thought into that, we decided that could be a lot bigger and could also be used for educational purposes, as well as about the freedom of speech, hate speech, the First Amendment, all of that good stuff. So we had a big team come together and implement all this different information, but it's a big push to help create a culture of student activism and engagement on our campus. So once that website does go live, I encourage you all to share it to your constituents, and then hopefully other colleges will be putting it on their different websites. It's actually gonna be a website all on its own from the university server, if that makes sense. So not just under the Center for Student Engagement. It was cool because over break we got it reviewed by a bunch of different stakeholders. This is people from the community, people on the on campus, faculty, administration. We're sending it out to student leaders too when working with Commissioner Hickman to create that list of student organizers and activists to get them to see just a bunch of different perspectives to see if this website's effective, and it was cool to see everyone's expertise contribute to the big picture. So we're doing some finalizations of that, and then hopefully the website will be live by next week, which is really exciting. And then Vice President Atienza talked about the report form for hate and bias and also the number. I also really encourage you guys to share that. That is also on the Student Expression Rights and Responsibility website. So it's all there. I'm really excited for it to go live, and I'll definitely be sharing it with you guys once I have the link. I wanted to remind everyone about the Public Deliberation Initiative, also something you might have missed at retreat. It's from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. In the Joe Ballrooms on Monday, February 5th. I think if many of us could go as possible, that would be awesome. So just mark that on your calendars. It's participating in this dialogue. And Senator Flangus and Senator Martinez can speak to this too, but we got to do it at the Civic Learning and Democratic Engagement meeting, and it's very, very impactful activity. If you're interested in too and becoming a facilitator, it's kind of an all-day thing, so make sure you check out that on GivePulse and sign up for that as well. I think especially being in our roles and the outreach that we've been doing, it's a really effective tool for anyone to have, not just in this job, but once you get outside of this job and into the world, it's a great tool and a great experience. So if you can, please take advantage of that. I just want to remind you of that. Okay, Chief of Staff Bradley talked about this a little bit, but we had the people, the very nice people from Soho Sushi Burrito reach out to us. It's Friday, so tomorrow from noon to 1. They're creating a special university menu item just for our university, so it's going to be a big taste testing thing, and then we're going to decide on the name. Ben from Soho Sushi Burrito wanted me to get a head count of people that are coming and me to include emails just so they know how much food to prepare. So is there anyone that can make noon to 1 tomorrow? It's going to be really fun.
Friday.
Huh? Friday. Friday. Sorry. Friday's not tomorrow. I'm so silly. Okay. Senator Mall, Senator Chalmer, Senator Lee,
can we
Becker.
Interns?
I would need to have the count of how many. So, I mean, you can ask, but you have to update me by tomorrow. Danny? James? Got it. Jenny? Who else? Is that green? Okay. Do I see Kirk in them? Should we just bring food to every of, like, sushi burritos every of us?
Yes.
Okay. I have Senator Flangus, Senator Mall, Senator Chalmer, Senator Cynthia Lee, Senator Becker, Senator Pettingbottom, Jenny Perdue, Zach Green, Senator Kirkendall, Senator Thummel. Did I miss anyone? Excellent. Okay, I will be forwarding your name and emails to Ben, and you know it's Friday from noon to 1. Everyone got it? Yes.
I'm sorry, did you say Senator Maul or Senator Maul?
I said Senator Maul. I'll add Senator Maul.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yes, that'll be really fun. I think it'll be a great thing, and hopefully that endowment thing works out because it will be even more impactful. Okay, that's it for my report. Moving into agenda item 7, report of the Senate committees, if we keep these brief, please. Chair of the Committee on Academics.
Okay, so the next meeting we will be meeting on Monday at 1:30 in the conference room. We'll have two pieces of legislation to talk about, one pertaining to funding distribution for international research experience for undergraduates, and one pertaining to putting a question on the 2018 ballot, election ballot. So we will be having another agenda meeting the following week.
One,
but that'll just give us more time to discuss.
Great. No worries, we all do it. Any questions? Thank you. Chair of the Committee on Budget and Finance.
For anyone in my committee that didn't read their email, there's no meeting this Friday, but there will be one next Friday.
Great. Any questions? Civic engagement?
I've contacted two schools trying to get WOLPAC Reading Week started. Haven't gotten a response back. You'll get an update next week. Our meetings are going to be from 12 to 12:30. Sometimes it might run over a little bit, but if you have to leave to go to public affairs, that's fine. And we're going to have legislation about Democracy Plaza at our next meeting agendized, and then at the next Senate meeting. So not next Wednesday, but following.
Great. And then about the Nevada Reading Week, I would try to set up a meeting with Amy because she already has a relationship with Mount Rose Elementary as well as a couple of other elementary schools she's been working with, so she might be able to help you with that contact piece. Perfect. Anyone else? Questions on that? Okay. Government operations.
What's up, guys? My first meeting for the semester is going to be next Friday from 3 to 4 in the President's Conference Room. We have two pieces of legislation we're going to be discussing, one of which Senator Martinez and myself are going to be, or Speaker Pro Tem Martinez and myself are going to be working on. The other is regarding closing orgs. And yeah, that's about it.
Great. Sounds good. Any questions? All right. Public affairs.
Good evening, everybody. So that was wonderful. Good evening, everybody. I have a meeting for the Committee on Public Affairs this Friday. It's going to be pretty awesome. It's going to be from 12:30 to 1. And we're looking to discuss the term in review and see, like, the successes, what kind of stuff we could do better, some goals to finish out the year strong, how many pieces of legislation we want to finish. And then I remember that I brought up at a previous report an event that I want to make annual for present on some leadership and different types of lessons that we can give to high schoolers and how that transitions into the rest of their life. So.
Really awesome initiative. I think that's a great thing to focus on. Does anyone have any other questions? Thank you. University First.
So meetings will be 2 to 3 on Fridays, and the first meeting will be not this Friday, but the next one after that. And I'm going to yield the rest of my time and just have a report next meeting.
Thank you, Senator Bussman. I don't have anything for oversight, and Speaker Pro Tem Martinez does not have anything either. Moving into agenda item 8, comments and announcements. Everybody have comments and announcements at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into agenda item 9, miscellaneous business. Are there any committee changes at this time? Seeing none, moving into agenda item 10, first reading of legislation. I'm seeking a motion to fast track Senate Resolution 85, a resolution in support of net neutrality. Senator Kirkendall.
I move to fast track Senate Resolution 85, a resolution in support of net neutrality.
Is there a second? Senator Martinez?
Second.
Great. Any discussion on the motion to fast track? Seeing none, all those in favor of fast tracking, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries. Moving into, sorry, that was agenda item 11. Agenda item 10 is first reading. Agenda item 11. Do I have to do it again? I think I have to do it again. Okay, sorry, my mistake. First reading. Senate Resolution 85, a resolution in support of net neutrality. Moving into agenda item 11. I'm seeking a motion to fast track Senate Resolution 85, a resolution in support of net neutrality. Senator Kirkendall.
I move fast track Senate Resolution 85, resolution in support of net neutrality by unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Thank you. Sorry about that. Moving into agenda item 12, second reading of legislation. I'm seeking a motion to approve Senate Resolution 85, a resolution in support of net neutrality. Senator Thummel.
I move to approve Senate Resolution 85, a resolution in support of net neutrality.
Is there a second? Senator Martinez?
Second.
Great. I would like to yield the floor to Senator Ma, who would introduce this piece of legislation.
All right, guys. So yeah, it's just for the Over Bridge Road resolution for net neutrality. If you don't know, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, repealed the net neutrality rules that the Obama administration put in place. And so, just talking with a lot of peers and seeing what everyone thought about the Trump administration's actions. I decided to write a resolution to support it. So basically, net neutrality is treating all internet traffic the same in terms of providing the same service and with no discrimination in price or content by internet service providers. And so basically, with net neutrality, it just ensures that internet service providers don't charge for more for faster delivery of that data. And then that can also lead to them blocking content like certain applications or certain websites, and that can also restrict free speech. And then also that could also encourage less competition because it's more of an incentive for internet service providers to control more companies, more content, which would be to their advantage for making money. So the view of resolved mine is that that we urge the United States government to overturn the FCC vote to repeal it. And then just the people we're going to be sending to are the senators and representatives from Nevada, the commissioners and chairman on the FCC, and then President Trump.
Great. Is there any discussion on this piece of legislation? Any comments? Senator Plagueis.
I think this is particularly important to our students because we all use the internet to do research, and our library fees will drastically increase if we have to pay individually for all of those. I think it does directly impact students, and so it becomes more increasingly important the more you look at it.
Yes. I will say too, I've had a couple meetings with students, and this is a particularly important issue to them. So I'm really glad that this is being brought to the table for discussion. Anyone else? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor of approving.
approving Senate Resolution 85, a resolution in support of net neutrality. Please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Resolution passes. Moving into agenda item 13, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Seeing none, moving into agenda item 14, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Yes.
Just in case any of you haven't heard about this, the American Veterans wanted to put an ad in the program for the Super Bowl, urging people to respect the national anthem and stand for it. But they wouldn't allow it because that's controversial and some people might find it offensive. It's okay if they offend all decent Americans by refusing to honor the flag or stand for the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem. But as always, there's this double standard. So all of you should be aware of that.
Thank you. Any other public comment? All right, seeing none, I adjourn this meeting at